turn to, we've been doing a study in John. John chapter 9 is our focus here today. You might have, Pastor John might have passed out some notes. This is just notes. I gave notes last time on the outline of the whole book, but these notes are a little bit different. It's the whole book and the outline of the miracles that Jesus does and kind of the meaning behind a lot of them. So Jesus does miracles. The main purpose of the miracles were not to save people's souls. The blood of Christ saved people's souls. When he went to the cross, that's what paid for our sins. The miracles were there to show people that he was truly the Father's Son, God the Father's Son. He was there. He was divinely appointed. He was the Son that came down. He was God manifest in the flesh to pay for our sins. And he does this. And we're going to see another account of this in here in John chapter 9. And we went through the first 14 verses. And I encourage everybody, we have a website. If you weren't here last time, you can grab that audio and listen to that message. Jesus Christ heals a blind man, and he's not only blind, but he was blind from birth. He was blind from birth. It's an absolutely incredible story, and we left off, he's talking to the Pharisees, this blind man. Jesus heals this blind man, and he does it through an interesting means of he spits in the clay, and he takes the clay and the spittle, and he puts it on the man's eyes, and he commands him to say, go to this pool and wash your eyes away. And when the man opens his eyes, he can see physically. And Jesus is nowhere to be found. But this blind man, now that he sees, his first confrontation is with the Pharisees, these religious leaders that are trying to really attack Jesus and trying to really think that he's this rogue kind of person. And he starts talking to them, and that's where it's going to lead us into our continuation here. So that's a little context. Chapter 9, starting in verse 15. So they ask him, how did this happen? And he says, Jesus, this man, he tells him exactly what happened. He made this clay, and he spit in the ground. He made clay. He put it on my eyes. He told me to go over here. I washed my eyes, and I can see. That's all I know. And that's what he's telling the Pharisees, and they just don't believe him. And starting in verse 15, we're going to see now they're going to ask him again, these religious leaders. Then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, this is what the man says, he put clay upon mine eyes, and I washed, and do see. And he just keeps telling them exactly what's happening. He says, look, here's what happened. I'm telling you, don't you guys get it? Verse 16, John chapter 9, verse 16, therefore, because of what he said in that before, he says, therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. Okay, so this verse is so important, and here's why. The Jews had something called the Sabbath day, which was a day of rest. And we won't go to the passage. We went to the passage the last time in Mark 2:20, and it says, therefore the Son of Man is Lord and also of the Sabbath. And it says, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. These Jews had a code. They had a law that God said you had to keep, and they could never keep it. That's why they had to offer those sacrifices like we talked earlier. But there was a day that God designated, and he says, I want the people to rest. But the day was designated for the people. It was for them. But what the Pharisees have done is they made this an ordinance and said, if you do any work on this day, you're in trouble. So what they did was they perverted what was in the law and they enforced it upon the people. So that's what happens when man starts forming religion and enforcing certain things on people. He kind of screws it up, and for what the real meaning was meant for. It was meant for it's a relationship, right? God says you need to rest because you're working and you have to work, but also you're offering these sacrifices, you're providing for your family. I want you to have a day of rest. It's for you. But they didn't make it that way. So what happened was Jesus performs this miracle on a Sabbath day, on this one day a week of rest. And they look at that and they say, see, he's a sinner, but he's not a sinner. It's Jesus Christ. But here's what happens. They come to a conclusion, and this is what people in 2024 come to a conclusion. Here's what they say. They perceive in their mind, they say, all people from God keep the Sabbath, meaning all people do good works. Therefore, if all people do good works, they're from God, right? But that's not right. Here's why. Here's what they also say. Because Jesus does not keep the Sabbath, therefore Jesus is not from God. That's what they're saying. Okay? Now let's bring it forward to 2024. People say if you do good works, you're okay with God. But that's not the case. The case is that Jesus says you must believe on the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus means one who saves sinners. We were already born into condemnation. That's why Jesus Christ came. So in order for me to be saved, Jesus says to Nicodemus back in John chapter 3, a religious person who was doing religious things, he says, Nicodemus, he says, ye must. There's no two ways about it. Ye must be born again. You must have a new spirit in me. You must believe in the risen Savior of Jesus Christ. He doesn't say that. He says you must be born again. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So here's what happens. They're perverting the law and they're saying, look, if you can't hold the law, you're not right with God. But here's the thing. Jesus Christ, he fulfilled the law. He came there. But see, here's the problem. He performs this miracle. And this miracle that he performs on this man, he does the miracle to show those same Pharisees, look, I am who I say I am. But the problem is they still reject him. Now watch, verse 17. They say unto the blind man again, they still don't believe him, okay? What sayest thou of him that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, this is what the man's response, he is a prophet. Now notice, back in John chapter 11, they asked him what happened, and he says, a man that is called Jesus made clay. And now here he calls Jesus a prophet. See, something's changing in the blind man's heart. He sees now, and he sees something. He goes, this man that came to me, he healed my eyes. And now I'm starting to understand he's something more than just a man. Maybe he's a prophet from God, because that's what the Old Testament, it was written, right? It was penned by the prophets. Prophets of God were to go to man and say, this is what God is saying. So now this man's thinking he is a prophet. He's saying it. He's sure. He goes, this man is a prophet. Deuteronomy chapter 18 talks about a prophet that is going to come and save his people. So he calls him a prophet. Here's the practical application for Christians today. You will learn truths about God faster if you're talking to people about the Lord than if you aren't. What do I say by that? If you're saved today and you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, when you start telling other people about Jesus Christ, you start quickly finding out how much you really know about the Lord and how of your relationship. And what he does is, it's a work of the Holy Spirit. He starts changing your heart, and he starts giving you the words to say to those people at the right moment, at the right time, and it just happens. The reason why I could say that is because by experience, it just happens. People think it's coincidence that, you know what, somebody was just talking to me about the Lord, and I really needed to hear that. That's not a coincidence. It's the Holy Spirit working through the Christian, talking about the gospel, talking and helping others about that. What this man is essentially doing is, he starts to end up witnessing to the Pharisees. Now watch. Go down, verse 18 with me. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, number two, and until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. So here's what happens. The blind man's witness is not enough for these Pharisees. So now he goes, now I got to go to the parents because I just don't believe this, right? You know what that's called? The lack of faith, right? Okay. And they asked them, saying, now he's with the parents. Let's pretend Pastor John and Lori are the parents. And they ask the parents and they say, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? So let me ask you this. If they know their son and their son has been living with them, they would know all about their son, correct? Including if he was blind from birth, right? We know he's blind from birth. Here's what they say. Verse 20. His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son. Yes, that's our son, and that he was born blind. So now they give testimony. This is our son. He was absolutely, undeniably born blind. How do I know that? Because I gave birth to him. He's my son. I know that, right? So that should be it. That should be the end of it. But it's not. This is verifiable proof that this man that was born blind now sees. Something happened. Verse 21. Here's how they answer. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. They say, look, we don't know how he got his sight. Just ask him. Just ask him, right? Here's what happens, though. Verse 22. These words, why did they say that? God explains it in the next verse. He says, these words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. So what has happened is they have already made a decision in their heart that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if the evidence was going to be there in their heart. They're just going to refuse to believe it. And I'm telling you, folks, today, in present day, there is so much evidence of Jesus Christ not only existing in this world, but that he rose again. There is evidence. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15 says he was seen of 500 witnesses, right? Amen. That Jesus Christ is real as this. He's as real as this table. And people say, in fact, if you were to study all religions, everybody knows that there was a man on this earth at some point in human history named Jesus of Nazareth. Here's the difference. They all refuse to believe the evidence. The evidence is there. It's their heart. And here's the thing. Jesus commands that we repent and change our lives, and that's what keeps men from trusting in Jesus Christ. What keeps men from trusting in Christ is the changing of the heart. I love my sin more than him. And it's a hard thing to hear and a hard thing to understand as far as we in our hearts, it's one thing to believe Jesus died on the cross, but it's a whole entire different matter to trust him as your personal savior. Not anybody else's savior. I can't pray a prayer for anybody. Nobody can pray a prayer for anybody. I can't go to a man and he can confess to the Lord to save my sins. It's got to be between me and God, and I got to submit to him. I got to surrender, and I got to say, Lord, forgive me of my sins. I am a sinner, but you know what? You said, this man came across and he said, you know what? You rose from the dead. And he says, if I trust in you, he'll save my soul. And you know what that means? The prisoner rotting in jail that's awaiting his execution or his death penalty. You know what? If that man calls upon the name of the Lord, he'll be saved. That same person that did all these good works and everybody says, oh, look at how great they are. They fed the poor. They did all this. If they don't trust in the name of Jesus Christ and believe that he's the Son of God and repent of their sins, they're going to eternal damnation. Because it's not what these Pharisees didn't understand. Jesus Christ is constantly trying to tell them, because I'm performing this miracle has nothing to do with the works. Your works do not save your soul. The very act of trusting in the one that can pay for your sins is what saves your soul. Why would such a loving God send people to hell? He doesn't want to send anybody to hell. In fact, the Bible says he came to seek and save that which is lost. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He doesn't want anybody to perish. So this is what he's trying to say. He goes, guys, I gave you a way. But unfortunately for you, because you're resistant, he says, there's only one way. John 14:6, he says, I am not a way. You know what a way means? There's multiple ways. We're not all on the same road to get saved. You understand that? There's only one way to get saved, and that's through Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by who? Me, meaning him. So here's the thing. Jesus clearly is saying that's the way of salvation. Okay, now let's bring all of that back into what's happening here. The Bible tells us they lied and didn't know how their son got their sight, correct? Now, if I read verse 21 without reading verse 22, I would have said, maybe they don't know. Maybe they just thought it was some sort of coincidence, right? But verse 22 explains it. The parents said this because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Here's the practical application today. When you trust Jesus Christ, yes, it is a narrow way, but it is a blessed way. But also, there's going to be times where you have to make that choice and you say, do I stand for Jesus Christ or am I going to blend in with the world? You got to make that choice. See, what they preferred was their social club. They preferred their church. They preferred the synagogue over, they knew in their heart, the Bible tells, they know how what happened. You know why? Because God gives us a conscience. He gives us awareness. They know what happened. There was nothing short of a miracle that their son got his sight back. They just didn't want to admit it. Why? Because when you confess Christ, what does the Bible say? Romans 10 says that if you shall confess the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved, right? I want you to hold your place here. Hold your place here. Turn to John chapter 12. We're going to kind of bring this in a little bit. So we're at a point now where these Pharisees are demanding an answer of how this man got his sight, even though he was born blind from birth. And they don't want to believe it. And here's the interesting part about the heart of man, okay? They feared the Jews that they were going to be put out of the synagogue. But before that, the Pharisees asked this woman about their son, and they give him proof. They said, he's not lying, right? So when it says in verse 22, for the Jews had agreed already, do you know what that means? That means that no matter what evidence will ever be placed on that heart, they predetermined in their heart that they are refusing to come to, they're refusing to allow faith, they're refusing to submit, they're refusing to allow anything into their heart to change their heart. They are blinded, and that's what it means to be spiritually blind. That's why you need Jesus, the light, which brings us to John chapter 12, verse 36. It says, he's talking here in a different context. He says, while ye have light, Jesus Christ is the light of the world, by the way, believe in the light. How do I believe in light? I got to believe in Jesus. Believe in the light that ye may be the children of light. These things spake Jesus and departed and did hide himself from them. John 12, 37 says, but though he had done so many miracles before them, talking about those rejecting him, yet they believed not on him. We find out the miracles are done to show the proof that he's God, but also that people, it doesn't matter in 2024, if God was to perform a miracle, people would still deny him. It's because they don't want to get right with God. It's the idea is that we're a stubborn, they call it the asses, it was the colt. Remember when Jesus rides on the colt they say, Hosanna, Hosanna, right? It's an unruly animal. He likens that to us in our state because we're unruly. We don't want anybody to rule over us naturally, right? But in order to come to the Lord, you got to submit and admit the most. You got to get out of your pride and say, Lord, I'm broken. I need you. I am not the greatest person that I thought I am compared to you. I'm nothing. In fact, you said that all my righteousness is but filthy rags. So it's that submission to the Lord. And here's what happens. John 12, 38. That the saying of Isaiah, that's Isaiah the prophet, might be fulfilled, which he spake the Lord, who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm, that's like the power of the Lord, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Christ is revealing the arm of the Lord. He's the Bible calls Jesus Christ, he is the express image of God the Father. That means that when you hear God the Father, you look at Jesus Christ and say, that's how God is, manifest in the flesh. That's what Jesus was. You say, how do I know that? This man is absolutely holy all the time. He never had a bad thought. He never sinned. He was the greatest 12-year-old any parent could ever have. You understand? It's weird that you can't discipline your son because he's righteous. And we're not righteous. You understand? That's what it means to be righteous. So John 12:41 says, these things said Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. Now hold your place there. Hold your place there. Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 9. Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 9. This is part of the Romans road, but it's an interesting context here when we start reading this. Romans chapter 10. We'll start in verse 8. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Man, now if I was looking at the parents and saying, okay, right? So we're looking at that. They're not confessing. Whether or not they end up getting saved, I don't know. But right there, there's a heart matter with the parents also, right? Because Jesus Christ is not just performing these miracles for just the blind man. He knows that when he's performing it, people are witnesses. When Jesus spoke, he was speaking in crowds. Why? It's because if I'm talking to that person right there about the Lord, that person over there might get saved because they're hearing the living words of the living God. That's how Jesus Christ works. He calls us to be as fishers of men, right? You cast out the net and you may not get any fish, you might get a whole drought of fish, right? You cast out that net. It's about the soul. It's not about the number. It's about souls. We're people here. We're heading to a sinner's hell. People are going to a sinner's hell and they need to repent. And Jesus Christ says, go out, preach to all the world and tell them about me. That's what Jesus Christ is doing. He's not just saving this man. He wants those Pharisees to believe. He wants to save them. They're just rejecting. And you know what? You reject. And you reject, and you're rejecting, you know what? Whether you're coming to church weekly or whether you're on the street and you see the same guy holding up the same scripture sign every week, you bypass, say, yeah, that's fine. One day we will be faced with the biggest, let's say, villain of all time, and that's death. And that death is going to come knocking on everybody's door. And here's the great news for the Christian. When you're a Christian, you could face that door with a smile on your face, waiting, saying, Lord, please open the door. But if you're not there, it's a scary thing to think about, but it doesn't have to be. Jesus says, just come to me. Believe on me. He says, I'll save you. I'll not only save you. He says in his Bible, you can't even pluck, you won't be able to pluck yourself out of the Father's hand. What does that mean? He'll keep us. He'll keep us as well. Until that day. Verse 23. Therefore said his parents, he is of age, ask him. And we're going to end with this. In the last 4 minutes, we're going to end with verse 25 here. We'll get to it. So the parents lied because they feared the Jews. They weren't willing. They were ashamed of what happened. They lied because they didn't want to lose their membership or status with the church or be scorned by the leaders. When you trusted Christ in that day, even when Christ ascends to the Father, even after all of that, in the day of the church, in the book of Acts, when you gave up absolutely everything to follow the Lord, today we have so much freedom to say, I can come to a church, I can worship God freely, and nobody's going to take away my house. They're not going to take away my livelihood. Why? Because we live in a country, thank the Lord, that we are free to worship whatever, but you need to worship the true God. But here's the thing, back in that day, when you were a Jew and you practiced Judaism, when Christ died, he said, that's it, I fulfilled the law, you need to trust in me. And when people formed, when the church was formed and people were joining the church, they lost their families, they lost their livelihoods, they gave up everything. It took a lot to follow the Lord. So you understand kind of what was going on, right? They didn't want to give up any of that, or else they would have been shunned. They would have lost everything. It's not an excuse, but let's just be adults here. What if you were in that situation today? What if they said right now, we either have to shut this church down or we're going to put everybody in jail? It's happening, right? So we got to be mindful of that. That happened in that day and it can happen today too, right? But praise the Lord, while the light's still here, folks, we still have these freedoms. This church is going. We still have those freedoms. Stay encouraged and keep, just follow the Lord. Don't worry about that other stuff. Verse 24, almost there. Then again, called they the name that was blind, or the man that was blind, and said unto him, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Now, the Pharisees called Jesus a sinner. Why? Because he's not according to what their religion is talking about, right? Verse 25, this is the man's famous, this is really, truly, if you sing Amazing Grace, this man comes to my mind every time I sing it. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, he says, I don't know anything about this man. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. He says, look, you can come up with me with any questions. All these things are coming at me. He goes, you know what? Look, you're going to do what you're going to do. You're going to mock me, whatever it is. He's starting to understand their heart. He says, you have your religion. You have all this stuff. He goes, all I know is that I was blind from birth. I couldn't see. And now I see. And it's because of this man who happens to be, I think he's a prophet. And you know what ends up happening? He starts calling him, he says, he's a man, he's a prophet, and eventually he's going to call him Lord. You know why? Because Jesus, the miracle didn't save this man. You know what saved this man? Jesus Christ himself, when he placed his faith in Jesus Christ. And we're going to see that this is why, when you have that outline in front of you, these miracles are beautiful pictures of Jesus Christ in the way of salvation. Amen. We'll close there, and next time we'll come, we'll finish up the chapter. All right.